Listen, I get it. You like saving in Bitcoin. But check this out. You can actually complement your HODL position by investing in Bitcoin startups. If you want additional upside and enjoy learning about angel investing, you should check out Lightning Ventures. Lightning Ventures is a great way to stack real equity in Bitcoin-only companies. They've invested in businesses you've heard about on this show, including Azteco, CrowdHealth, and Swan Bitcoin. And Lightning Ventures makes it easy to get started in the world of early stage investing. The minimum investment is only $1,000 per deal, and you only invest in the deals that make sense to you. So, if you want to get a behind-the-scenes look at the startups you know and love, if you want a chance to support their growth, and if you want another opportunity to profit as the Bitcoin ecosystem develops, check out the 60-second application in the show notes to get started today in building a world that runs on better money.
I'm fascinated by what is happening in El Zante, and I'm fascinated by things that are happening in other little pockets around the world. You know, obviously, the United States of America and our dollar, although broken in so many levels, it is convenient to use. And, you know, most people don't understand Bitcoin because they're like, what's wrong with it, right? You know, I'd love to see a circular economy here. The goal was always to have a place where, you know, things that people were leaving the city to go buy or do, whether it's a barbershop or a dentist or, you know, whatever, have that here for them in Bellhaven.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guest today is Ruffin Lowry, who's one of the main personalities behind a local development in Jackson, Mississippi called the Bellhaven Town Center. Ruffin is a Bitcoiner, and today we're going to be talking about the importance of local community, investing in your community, and how you can encourage Bitcoin adoption in your community. But of course, before we get to today's conversation with Ruffin, we do have this week's Bitcoin Meetup Spotlight. And even before that, I'd like to thank those who have been supporting the show on Fountain in the last week. Thanks to No Waste BTC Signs for streaming sats to the show, as well as to user 517909319 for his boost of 100 sats, Gardas's 100 sat boost, where he said, great episode, talking about last week's interview with John Gordon, and Wartime for sending a sizable 3,333 sat boost. He also said, great episode, but added, would like to hear more with John. And I absolutely agree with that. John talked about at the very end of the episode about how it might be possible to use Nostr for medical documents and things like that. I think there's probably a lot of interesting things John can bring to the table, so I imagine we'll be seeing him on the show again. Now, it's looking like today is very likely going to be halving day. So in light of that, for this week's Bitcoin Meetup Spotlight, we're going to be going to my city of Jackson, Mississippi. The Jackson Miss Bitcoiners are hosting their Bitcoin halving party at the Bellhaven Town Center in Jackson, Mississippi on Saturday, April 20th from 12 to 4 p.m. The event will feature a 1 million sat giveaway, live music from John Hart and Mark Swallow, food trucks, a Bitcoin STEM project presentation, and the Tuttle Twins Bitcoin episode. In other words, they'll be fun for the whole family, for Bitcoiners and no-coiners alike. This event is made possible in part by Bitcoin is Better. You can find more about this new nonprofit whose mission is to empower the middle class with Bitcoin at bitcoinisbetter.org or on Twitter at btcisbetter.org. You can also keep tabs on the Jackson Miss Bitcoiners on Twitter at jxnmissbitcoin or on Meetup. All those links are down below, along with a link to the Oshi app, which you can use to find a Bitcoin meetup near you. Now, we're going to get to our interview with Ruffin right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Ruffin, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Josh. Thanks for having me.
So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. You ready for these?
Sure.
Question number one is this. When and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
So, I think the first time I heard about it was just through YouTube videos, and maybe I was 2015, 16, just sort of like seeing it pop up on YouTube. And quite honestly, and maybe some of the ones that I saw were scammy scams, but but it just like production looked so bad, I just like sort of dismissed it. At the time, I was always been in the capital markets world, but at the time I was working at a bank, and but at that and asking questions then about kind of how things worked. I guess really probably learned more about it in 2019 and 20, kind of during COVID, as a lot of people sort of did. And being in the capital markets world and real estate, the world that is title insurance always just rubbed me the wrong way. And heard a lot of folks talking about how smart contracts were going to be the savior for real estate and sort of end the need for title insurance or revolutionize, disrupt title insurance, maybe I should say. And so really kind of got into learning about smart contracts and certainly got into the world of like Ethereum and those kind of things at first. I mean, and Bitcoin as well, and kind of seeing all of them and saying like, okay, this is all very interesting. And like, what's this all about? And you kind of went through the phase of like, there's something here with all of them, and maybe, you know, there ultimately will be alternative options, will be, there'll be something we learn from it, the good stuff, that the separating the wheat from the chaff, the wheat will like, you know, move over to a Bitcoin based layer. And you kind of already see that happening, but just through reading and listening to podcasts and watching YouTube videos, just finally sort of came to the light that like, wow, all right. Yeah, Bitcoin is the solid foundation that everything has to be built on. And so thankfully didn't have to go through a lot of pain and suffering with losing a bunch of money with altcoins. Just sort of, I'm always sort of slow and deliberate in moving forward with anything, so I don't ever jump into anything. and so kind of took my time, and, you know, sure, certainly I probably didn't get in Bitcoin as low as I could have, but I think in the long run, it's pretty irrelevant, you know.
Question number two is this: what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
It's still so early, so it just depends on who you're talking to, right? But the scarcity is only 21 million is super important, and why that is. I think, you know, the good things that the Bitcoin mining industry is doing for energy production or capabilities and other places in the developing world is really awesome. But ultimately, I think Bitcoiners and non-Bitcoiners alike need to understand that Bitcoin is not going to save the world. Mm. It is a good tool that will be used for good and ultimately maybe some evil too, just like fiat currencies are. But Bitcoin's not going to save the world. we can all work and do what we can to, you know, love our neighbor and help society around us and the cities that we work in. And Bitcoin, I think, will help with those things and will change a lot of things for good, but ultimately will not save you or this world.
So. Yeah. That's almost like a word for Bitcoiners right there, as opposed to people who don't know about Bitcoin. I think most people who don't know about it would say their default is, yeah, Bitcoin's not going to fix everything. But some Bitcoiners think that if we have a Bitcoin standard, essentially Bitcoin fixes this. There are a lot of things that's true of. But what you're saying almost is like, hey, Bitcoiners is probably not going to fix everything.
Yeah. I mean, and we're all guilty of this, right? You get so laser focused on something or some aspect, and it's something you're super passionate about, but you have to zoom back out and you have to flip things on their head, you know, and look at them in different ways. And I think, you know, for people who are getting into Bitcoin, especially, it can be very off-putting for to hear that or hear someone say, and they're a lot of great things that they say and a lot of great things that they're doing. And it's like, well, if that's what they believe, then clearly this thing is something that I don't want to get into, or, you know, not really interested in. And so it's like, no, I mean, yeah, people are very passionate about it. When you get passionate about it, you can catch a podcast or a YouTube or, you know, whatever, that people are talking specifically about something. But just, you know, always remember to zoom out and look at it in the bigger picture of what's, you know, happening in the world at large.
Mm. And I'm probably a little bit guilty of that at times, just the way that I communicate about Bitcoin. I do think that it will realign a lot of incentives, and that's what Bitcoin does help with. But there are a lot of other things that it won't fix.
No, I mean, and I am as well. I mean, that's one thing. It's one of the things that I have to preach to myself. And I say that in full humility. It's, you can get. You can get too laser focused on some of this stuff.
Question number three, what's the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
So kind of what, same as earlier, as I was saying, I mean, it's early and people are at all different levels. And so, I mean, you kind of, it's just, you hit people where they are. Right. And, but what I do find in my world, in Jackson, Mississippi, is that, you know, this is just totally foreign to people. And so if you can just say, like, look, I know you don't have time to go sit down and read all the safe house books. Like, I get that. You know, that's a long way down the rabbit hole. And they're all amazing. And so I will recommend those specific books to people if you've, like, someone really gets the economic side of things or the technology side of things. But I direct people towards Swan and Unchained's learning resources. I mean, that's just, someone can very quickly go there and see one or two things that maybe pique their interest, that they're not going to may not take my word for it, but they can find something there. And then you're just automatically directing people to a resource that is a trusted company, that if they do decide to buy Bitcoin, then they can use those resources, and you feel pretty good that they're in good hands with those folks. Now, you know, once you get down the rabbit hole, and you may want to diversify or do whatever, but I'd rather do that than go elsewhere. So,
yeah. Question number four, beyond Bitcoin, what is a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or your work recently?
I love the Fountain app, love the Gospel and Life podcast. It's a Tim Keller Redeemer Church out of New York, who recently passed away, but it goes through his sermons from 1989 to 2017 or something, or maybe not that late, but when he was the pastor at Redeemer Church in New York. I know that sounds kind of strange from a business standpoint, but kind of back to the point of, like, zooming out, like, if you're not mindful of why you're doing what you're doing, then you're going to be greatly disappointed, be upset, feel left down, feel, you know, cheated. I mean, you're going, you know, bad things are going to happen. And just the wisdom of, you know, the word, but the way that Keller's able to present it and really put it into a context that works for people in the business world, because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, New York is the apex of, like, driven people who are in that city to go and make money, to build a career, and they're churning and burning. And he speaks to that in most all of his sermons. But there's one particularly that I continue to come back, which is the meaning of the city, which really hits home with me, just because my sort of passion and calling is sort of loving the city. And that's one of the main threads that runs through the entire gospel, the entire Bible. And so knowing why, I don't want to jump ahead, but is very important.
You've already told us your answer, I'm afraid. But yes, we have now question number five, what we call our arbitrary but insightful question. And it's this: as a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
Yeah, that was unintentional, but I would answer that in why, for sure. And I think the two are just fundamental questions to your existence that if you don't understand is why are you here on this earth? Mm. You know, if you've not contemplated that or meditated on that, then you will at some point, right? And so as a general life principle, I mean, obviously there are reasons to ask why not, but the wisest and most influential man that ever walked the earth often asked why and answered why, but you don't, you don't hear why not. Because I do feel like why is more of a, you know, obviously how you ask it matters, but why is from a more of a stance of humility or sort of asking out of general care, whereas why not? It's like, I did it. Why not? You know, that's obviously, it's not always the case for every aspect of life, but there are things that you can do, but shouldn't do. Right. So why is a better question than why not in that context?
Meet Linkster, your premier Bitcoin-focused advisor. Linkster caters to businesses, institutions, family offices, and high net worth individuals. They merge your unique financial goals and needs with Linkster's Bitcoin expertise to craft your own sustainable plan to preserve and grow the value of your hard-earned profits and retained earnings. At Linkster, it's not just advice, it's tailored execution. Connect directly with the founder by visiting Linkster.com. That's Linkster. .com. Linkster. Secure your future with Bitcoin. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out. Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to VelusCommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at VelusCommerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. Well, Ruffin, we're here today to talk about what you're doing at the Belhaven Town Center. You're not the first person from Mississippi that I've interviewed, but you are the first who is consistently involved in our monthly meetup. And not only are you involved, but it's because of you essentially that we have a place to meet. So if you could share with us a little bit about the Belhaven Town Center, which unknowingly, I guess, was named in a way that also very much aligns with Bitcoin because the initials are BTC. So what is the Belhaven Town Center and just kind of a little bit about what you're doing in Jackson?
Yeah. So the name sort of explains what it is. It is a town center for the largest historically intact neighborhood in the state of Mississippi, which is Belhaven. So we have Belhaven and Belhaven Heights and kind of surrounding areas. We have two universities in Belhaven University and Millsaps. And then we're flanked by downtown to the south and Baptist Hospital and the University Medical Center. So we're sort of right in the middle of what is, you know, a historic area in the city, but education, medical, and then CBD. And this area had no town center. It was residential. It had some kind of larger scale development that had taken place along what was Old Highway 51, but North State Street. And it just needed a urban town center. And so we moved, my wife and I moved back here in 2017, I guess it was. And the opportunity kind of arose. Like I said, was always in the capital markets world. And so commercial real estate capital markets are looking at deals and always very interested in that, but always loved the built environment and how things function and why great cities like Oxford, Mississippi, function the way that they do, and felt, you know, I had I grew up in this town. I mean, not, you know, on the other side of the university medical center from Belhaven, but a similar kind of neighborhood that sort of has its little town center there. And really felt like when I got out of college, I lived in this neighborhood for a while, and growing up had friends in this neighborhood, and always just sort of had a love for this part of the city. And so we had an opportunity because Baptist Hospital had land banked a bunch of land around their hospital, and we're looking to try to do something with it or have someone do something with it. And so I had met back up with one of my closest friends growing up who had lived down the street from the town center, and then a sort of a family friend who had actually been working on sort of doing a charrette, sort of a vision cast for Baptist of what could happen within this area back in 2006 when, you know, sort of the Great Recession happened. And, it, you know, the idea was kind of thrown out. There were a lot of really beautiful drawings of beautiful buildings by some really impressive people that my partner David had brought into town. And it just got sort of put on the shelf. It just was not, wasn't feasible. It wasn't the right time. There weren't the right group of people who had not come together. And so it sort of came back to life when we moved here and sort of planted our roots in the neighborhood and started raising our kids here. And it's like, look, this is where we're going to be. Let's be intentional about this. And so we started small, and this is always hilarious to think about. The name of our entity is BTC Energy. And that was like the energy phase of the Belhaven Town Center. Like at that point in time in 2018, I had not really been exploring anything in that world at all. I mean, you know, like I said, I knew about that Bitcoin existed, but didn't know anything about it really. And, we wanted to be sort of the energy within the neighborhood that was like jumping out there, taking the risk. I mean, these buildings were, you know, burned in roofs. The roof systems had collapsed on themselves. They were just vandalized by vagrants. I mean, there was nothing good happening, in these two blocks. And so we got the property under option to be able to acquire it and started developing the energy phase, which was three little buildings, two historic properties and an old apartment complex. And we put three restaurants in them and offices upstairs above one of them. And so the intention was always like a very incremental development. We'll do three buildings. We'll see how the market accepts it, see how it does, sort of show people that you can do this. You know, obviously it is a risk and you're stepping out on faith to some degree, but felt like with two universities and two major hospital systems by downtown that, man, if this can't work, then I don't know that anything's going to work, you know? Yep. And so we started, and I love looking back and seeing that our entity name is BTC Energy, being kind of in the Bitcoin space now is like very, very appropriate. And that kind of energy that we can use to kind of go out and continue to do this development. So now we've developed out four more buildings and a little sort of central community space we call Terrace. And it's been great. We've got more left to do though.
Which, as a side note, Terrace is where we're going to be having our Bitcoin halving party. And if you're listening to this, you know, after Saturday, April 20th, it's already happened. I'm sure it will have been a great event. But it's really cool to have a space where we can bring people in that local people already enjoy, they're already used to spending their time at. And then we can just invite them out to a place they're already going to be and educate people about Bitcoin, put some Bitcoin in people's pockets, so to speak, and make sure that they have a first great experience with Bitcoin. And I do want to talk a little bit about maybe some of what you would foresee as far as the future goes with Bitcoin at BTC. But maybe maybe first of all, it would be interesting to know, for those who see themselves as wanting to shape their own communities, do you have any recommendations for, if they wanted to do something like this, even on a smaller scale, what would you say are the key building blocks, businesses, types of places that you want to set in place so that people have somewhere to gather to? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough question to answer broadly because every neighborhood is different. I mean, not every city is different. Every neighborhood is different. One of the most encouraging things, but also one of the fun things that sort of happened in developing Belhaven Town Center is that other people who do have a heart for the city are seeing like, oh, you know, you can do something like this, and have come and said like, hey, how do I like get into this world, or how do I, you know, how could I help you? Or is there somewhere else that I could, you know, do something like this? Here are my skill sets. That's the other thing. It's like, what are your skill sets? You know, I mean, some people are like very artistic and know the arts community and really can go down that role. And there's totally a place for that. I mean, I think more than anything, it's the people first. I mean, you can draw as many beautiful pictures. You can get the Congress of New Urbanism to come in and tell you everything you need to do and draw a beautiful building. But when that building costs $500, $600, $700 a square foot, depending on where you are, doesn't make sense for a place where you want some artists to go, right? So like, you know, I mean, I think one of a great example of that is the building where Fertile Ground Brewery is. So here at the Town Center, we've got the only brewery in the Jackson metro area. Great guys. It was something we knew that we wanted to have as an anchor in the development, but it is an adaptive reuse of Baptist's old linen facility. So it was just a big old block bunker sitting down in a hill with no windows. And so if you go online and look at pictures of it now, it's just shocking. We've got to do an Instagram post of the before and after. We've been talking about that. We've never done that. But, you know, find a small adaptive reuse. I mean, find a coffee shop and do a building next to it. I mean, you know, you need to have something that you can grow on, that has some ability to grow and scale. But I can't tell you how many times we've had people tell us like, oh, you can't do retail in a pocket in a neighborhood, right? You need to be on Main at Main. And we're, you know, a block and a half off of Main and Main, really. And the idea was like, this wouldn't be the only thing. Like, we would hope that it would push out to the main street and expand across, you know, into the Belhaven Heights area. Like, you know, big picture, long vision. I'm rambling, but I guess my point is that like, is it the only reason, not the only reason, one of the main reasons the Belhaven Town Center ended up happening is because providentially, the right people came together, right? I mean, it was, I don't have the money to just do this whole development by myself. I mean, neither did any of my other partners. And, you know, there were friendships that were there, that we all trusted each other, that like, hey, it's not going to be easy. It's going to take a long time. Let's step out in faith and do this thing because it's for a place that we love and that we care about. And, you know, we love it more than it deserves, kind of thing. And so I think that's first and foremost. I mean, these things are risky. They take money. They take time to mature and to grow. And so don't naively just jump out there because you have a passion for something and you have a little bit extra change. So, I mean, you know, like, I mean, I come from the capital market side of things. So I think about things from that side. And so I think that is the most important part. But if you have a place in a neighborhood, and we have dear friends in other parts of the city that we're working on trying to help them, like maybe it's an area that's not as like economically vibrant as maybe Belhaven is, but there's still a great opportunity to do something that person knows that neighborhood needs and that those people will love in that neighborhood. So having a person who's going to be there, it's not a flash. I mean, it's not a, as a, from a Bitcoin analogy, it's not a number go up kind of thing. It's like you come, you know, with the intention of like, investing yourself into it. And you have to, because otherwise it's going to disappoint you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So much more of a low time preference endeavor than a high time preference endeavor.
I think that's one of the things that really just resonates with me with Bitcoin is like, I get that. Like I get mm-hmm. that from a walk of faith, from a real estate development, from all walks of life. I'm like, oh, this makes a lot of sense to me.
I think an interesting thing to hear from you would be where would you like to see Belhaven Town Center be in the future as far as how Bitcoin fits into the puzzle? Because, you know, currently we have our local meetup there. We're going to be having the halving event there. Where would you like to see things in the future? And then maybe if we need to follow up with that, it's like, where are things now and what's keeping us from, you know, what's keeping you from getting to where you'd like it to be in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I would love for nothing more than it to be a circular economy within BTC. That right. Like I'm fascinated by what is happening in El Zante, and I'm fascinated by things that are happening in other little pockets around the world. I mean, I think there was like someone was talking about a place in Madeira or something but there was an area specifically maybe there, something in Costa Rica, and I can't remember all of them, but I'm like, oh, this is really interesting to me. You know, obviously, this is the United States of America, and our dollar, although broken in so many levels, it is convenient to use. And, you know, most people don't understand Bitcoin because they're like, well, there's what's, you know, what's wrong with it, right? One resource I do recommend to a lot of people is Alex Gladstein's Check Your Financial Privilege, which is a really great book for realizing like zoom out, you know, there's a bigger world out there. You know, I'd love to see a circular economy here. I'd love for people to be able to come here and buy a beer, buy some ice cream, buy some necessities of life, like, you know, services that are necessity of life kind of things at the Belhaven Town Center. The goal was always to have a place where, you know, things that people were leaving the city to go buy or do, whether it's a barbershop or a dentist or, you know, whatever, have that here for them in Belhaven. Mm-hmm. And so for those people to accept Bitcoin at some point is the goal. We are not there. We are far, far from it. I talk with our tenants about it, you know, and sort of plant those seeds. And I think that that's one reason I was excited about doing the halving party. It's just a fun way of introducing this to people. It's all so online on Bitcoin Twitter. Is just if you don't find the right people, there's just a lot of negativity and animosity, and it just doesn't read well for a lot of people. So this being a place or doing something that would be fun and lighthearted would be a great introduction, not only for the community, but also for the tenants. You know, why are we not there yet? I mean, at some degree, I'm still new to this, you know, I mean, I'm learning still every day and seeing how it can be used in this community. Not every day you're going to find somebody who's just willing to say like a jump out there and be like, oh, because Bitcoin is, you know, it's going to fix this kind of thing. And like they're trying to run a business that is hard enough as is, right? So that transition is going to be difficult. I think, you know, learning more about Lightning and whether it's Liquid and Fediments and those kind of things, I could see where those things would make it so much easier once the user experience is there. The idea of a Fediment is like that's really interesting. And a Fediment within the Belhaven Town Center, you know, I don't know. I mean, but you know, there's a lot to be done with Lightning. I mean, I have a lot of education to do with Lightning, but, and we talk about that at our meetups, you know, like, how can we get these retailers or tenants or others to be able to use it easier and not have the on-chain fees and all that. And so I think getting over those, we as Bitcoiners have to be very confident in that before we're going out to them and saying, hey, you should use Bitcoin. Like, yeah, I'm not real sure exactly. The fees for this are expensive and they're not for that. I know that there. And so we're, you know, and I'm learning that. I mean, learning about Oshie and Zapprite, and a lot of people that you've had on this podcast has been really great. And actually is how, I guess, we may have met through the meetup, but I started listening to your podcast because it tapped right into that vein for Bellhaven Town Center and Business Bitcoinization. Like, how am I going to actually get these tenants to understand mm-hmm. this and want to use it?
I think it's really cool what you have going. And I think that there are a lot of opportunities, and I'm excited to be a part of it in some way, in that I'm local, but I think that BTC at BTC is going to be a thing in the future. And I want listeners here to be aware of it. They've heard me talk about it a little bit on Meetup Spotlights in the past already, but we're not Nashville, we're not Austin, but that doesn't mean we're not going to be something like that in the future, at least some sort of local hub. So I think we both have a vision for something like that. I don't know how big it'll be. It kind of depends on a lot of various factors, but I think that there's there. And I'm excited that people get to hear a little bit more about it today. Now, before we finish up, though, I think it'd be interesting to hear kind of like you can speak of this in as specific or as broad of terms as you would like. But I think it'd be very interesting for people to hear about your recent experience with kind of the basketball dollar Bitcoin situation. So I don't know how much you want to speak about that, but I think it really proves how Bitcoin can be so valuable in a globalized world.
My son was doing a STEM fair project, right? And he was trying to think of all these different ideas. And I talked to him about Bitcoin and, you know, just sort of high level kind of stuff. I said, well, you know what the greatest STEM project ever done is, right? And he's like, no, what? And because he really wants to win the STEM project. I was like, Bitcoin. It's science, it's technology, it's engineering, and it's math. It's all of the above. Like, you could do a project on in all categories, and every one of them would touch on Bitcoin. And he started thinking. And thanks to you, he had been watching some Tuttle Twins shows. And so he really helped things kind of start to kind of click for him a little bit. And so anyway, so he chose to do his STEM project on Bitcoin, but really more how to move money around the world. We have some dear friends who are with Fellowship Christian Athletes and work in Africa and Uganda and Kenya and other countries as well. But I've had the joy of meeting several of their coaches that are over there, and their stories are just unbelievable. And turns out that our friend's wife is my son's teacher also. And so he was just eager to like, oh, we can do something with Bitcoin that also includes, you know, my teacher's family and kind of other things like that. It's like he was all about it. So the project was to take $10. I'll kind of give a brief summary of it. Was to take $10 US dollars and a basketball and $10 worth of Bitcoin and try to get it to Kenya. The STEM project was which one would get there the fastest, which one would be the cheapest, which one would be the most reliable, you know, which one would be theft proof. We started by going to UPS and seeing if we could send the money and the basketball. And we learned, I did not know this, you cannot send US dollars to Africa. And if we were going to, it's going to be like $100 to send $10, and the basketball is going to be $405 or something to send to Africa. We also learned that in Kenya or in other countries as well, not only just Kenya, but when they go to pick something up that has been shipped to them, that the government actually will make them open that right there on the spot. They look at it and they say, okay, we're taxing you. We think that's worth $30. We're taxing you $30 for that.
Wow.
And so they then go in this negotiation back and forth. It's like, well, it's not $30. It's worth, you know, $15. They're like, well, give us $20. And they're like, well, no. And they'll just like walk away from it. And they'll just, so a lot of things just don't even, the government just takes it from them because they're, you know, they're going to try to tax them so much for it. And so, and then he was like, the money's just not going to make it here, period. You know, even if you could send it. So we went to USPS. And the prices were lower, but it was like, no, you can't send money to Africa. We ended up, and we weren't going to, you know, we weren't going to send the basketball for $100 for him to get taxed and have to pay $30 to pick it up. And so we decided, well, maybe we'll just give it to them. And the next time they go on a trip, you give it to the FCA folks. And next time they go on a trip, maybe they can take it over then. And, but then we sent him $10 in Bitcoin and it went through immediately without any issues or any, you know, concerns or anyone getting in the way. And my son was like, you know, I've learned a lot from it. I learned a ton from it. But anyway, he presented last Friday and he's a third grader and, he won third place in the entire school, for his project, which I don't remember how many people, but they were 60 or 70 projects maybe. And he was ecstatic. The judges didn't know anything about Bitcoin, had no idea. They thought it was fascinating. None of his friends knew anything about it. So we're orange pilling the community step awesome. By step, piece by piece. So.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll be able to see that presentation at the halving party on Saturday. So, you know, I think we see from this episode that obviously Bitcoin has significant implications for cross-border payments, for moving money around the globe quickly and cheaply. But there's also a role that it has to play in local communities, and that's what you're doing or looking to do more and more at Belhaven Town Center. Do you have any final thoughts, Ruffin, before we finish up today?
Thanks for having me and for shining light on the city of Jackson. You know, it's a great place where good things are happening despite some of the press that we've gotten in the past few years. There are great people here who love their city well, love their neighbors well, and are doing great things. And so if you have an opportunity to come to Jackson, come see us at the Belhaven Town Center. We'd love to have you. We've got Airbnbs at BTC. I love the idea. You interviewed maybe a guy that did like Air BTC. I love that idea. Yep. I think that's fascinating. But yeah, come see us. And you can reach out to me on LinkedIn or Twitter. I'm not that active on Twitter, but I'm on it from time to time. And you can catch us on Instagram at Belhaven Town Center and our website at belhaventowncenter.com.
Awesome. Ruffin, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Josh. Enjoyed it.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or Ruffin, you can find those links down in the show notes. One thing I would encourage you to do is think about who you might be able to partner with to further invest in your community. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well. If you're a regular listener of the podcast, thank you. If you want to take a further step in your support for the show, you can help us grow by listening on Fountain, a value for value podcast app on iOS or Android. If you hear something you like that you disagree with or anything else, you can share it by sending some sats and adding a comment with your thoughts. Some of you have already done this and I appreciate it. I'm going to begin reading your boosts on upcoming episodes. So if you have some insight or value to add, let the people know. Getting started with Fountain is easy. You can add Bitcoin to your Fountain wallet by using your fiat accounts or any Lightning wallet. And one of my favorite features is that once you're using the app, you can earn sats just by listening on Fountain. Check out the link in the show notes to get started with Fountain today.